And if the children want to be excused, or child. I really like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 because it talks about the different times of life. And this morning I want to talk and share with you from God's word about a time to give and a time to withhold. Because God gives us times for both. If you would, turn to Matthew 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus gave many parables during his life here on earth. Last week we were talking about his teaching. What has he taught you? There was a lesson sort of hidden here in this passage about the 10 virgins. And I'd like us to read verses 7 to 10 here. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered and saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. We've been studying on Sunday nights the book of Revelation. And one of the ways that Jesus was described in that, especially in his letters to the seven churches of Asia, is that he is the one who opens doors and he is the one that closes doors. When he opens a door, no man can shut it. When he closes a door, no man can open it. I find, as I look back over my life, that there have been times where I've tried to kick the door in when he shut it. And some of you may have done the same thing because you felt like that's what ought to go on. I want us to think about the fact that giving is a part of serving Jesus as one of his born-again souls. If you never have given him anything, then you're not saved. But if you have given him your soul, and that's what he came to rescue, then you have taken the first step, and you are born again. I want to make sure that everybody understands, once we become a Christian, the world expects us to be a little different. And part of that difference is that we are to become a reservoir for giving. A reservoir for giving. If the Christian is not a reservoir for giving, then I believe they're being disobedient. God has put us here to give, first of all, the gospel to the world. There are a lot of people in this world who have not heard the gospel. And the minute we say that, we start thinking of darkest Africa and India and Pakistan and some of the other places in the world where the gospel is not readily free to preach. China. But I am surprised how many young people, by that I'm talking about kids in their teens in their elementary age, who have never heard the name of Jesus other than via profanity. A block and a half from here. is the apartment complex that I live in. And as I am talking to kids in that apartment complex, some of them don't know who Jesus is. I couldn't fathom that. You see, we all know him. He's part of us. The Holy Spirit is a part of us. And yet there are young people who are growing up in our neighborhood. That's a block and a half away. Who don't know who Jesus is, because nobody has ever given them anything. Several weeks ago, I saw a young, he was about that tall, I don't know, I don't estimate ages anymore, looking under cars, looking around in the shrubbery and stuff, and I thought, and he got in front of my apartment. I was sitting on the patio, and I said, "What you looking for?" He said, "Well, I had a gun and the shoot Nerf balls," and he said, "One of the other kids took it from me, and I don't know what he did with it." And that afternoon, that was in the morning, and that afternoon I saw him still going around looking under cars and behind shrubbery, and that was something special to him. I got the impression that maybe his mother was just making ends meet, and this was something that had been given to him as a gift by her, and this other kid had taken it. I said, "Well, if you don't find it tonight, when your mother gets home," she was working, "when your mother gets home, and she can go with us, we'll go to Walmart and I'll get you another one." Now that seems like a very simple thing to promise, but she didn't come that night to the apartment, because she was busy. And she didn't come the next week because she was busy. And he kept saying, "Well, can I, my friend come with me?" I couldn't put them in the car with me without their parents' permission. They were minors. And I'd rather your pastor didn't go to jail. I have plans, okay? And so the next week, second week, she didn't come, and he came and wanted to know if I'd still buy him that gun. It was a toy. I said, "Yes, but your mother's got to come with us." And I figured it was a chance to maybe witness to her as to why I was doing this, because Jesus wanted me to love them for him. It's been 5 weeks now, and she's never come. Folks, we all have a chance to reach out. We do. God's going to put somebody in your life that you can reach out to. It's not going to take much. And you can give them some little token that can represent God's love. There are those who claim to be Christians who withhold resources from the service of God because, and I have been told this, "Well, I might need them later." And I want to tell you this morning, if God gives you a resource, he doesn't necessarily give it to you. He gives it to you to give to somebody else. The That's why you and I have everything we have. And so if we give it back to him to begin with, it's not ours. And so it's not costing us anything to give it to somebody else to pass it along in some way. And he has blessed all of us, folks. He has. The fact that we're able to even be here this morning is a blessing. There are those who can't be here because of health reasons. There are others, just like Warren visiting last week. What a blessing. For those of you who don't know who Warren is a young man who was living on the street. He used to live across the street behind that church in the woods, and then he found out that we had shelter over our doors, and so he started sleeping over here at nights. He felt safer because there were a lot of homeless wandering around. That's what our blessing box is all about. We're providing food for homeless people. We're not doing that so they'll think highly of us. We're doing that because that's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus Christ would have us do. We are ministering. We are showing other people the love of God by giving to them. That's how he showed his love to us. He gave us his son. Most famous verse in the world. Been translated into more languages than any other verse in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. There's that word, give. Not withheld, but give. Gave. And so that's how our service to him, and that's how we communicate to others around us that we do have love for them and God has love for them. In Luke 6, 36 to 38, it says, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And Jesus was trying to relay the idea that nobody can outgive God. Now, that's not the motive that we're to have in our giving. Our motive is to be love from our hearts. But the more we give, Jesus said, the more you're going to get given back to you. And it's going to be God who's doing it. Why would we withhold? Why would we withhold? Well, there are times to withhold, just like Ecclesiastes says. Because there are times when God has directed us to use our resources for some other purpose for him. And when he does that, some of us, and I'm not going to point at anybody, some of us have limited resources. And some of us think, well, I can't do that. I can't do anything. That's not necessarily true. But there are times when God says, don't give, because I am working in that person's life. What about the people over here at Walmart? As you go out the driveway, you know, they've got a nice shady spot and a chair set up, and they've got their cardboard sign. Homeless or hungry, need help. Sure they do. And if the Holy Spirit says help, you better help. But a lot of times those people are there because they're making wrong decisions. And God is dealing with them and those wrong decisions. And eventually, they're not there yet, Some of them may think they're there yet, but they're not there yet. They're not quite to the bottom of the barrel. And that's where some of us have to get before God can get our attention, before God can communicate with us what he wants. There is nobody sitting in this room this morning that God does not want. Nobody. I don't care what you've done in the past, what your life has been in the past, God wants you to be his. He wants to own you. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, he does. And he's even put a mark on you that you can't see. Nobody else can see. They can see the results of the mark in our giving. But the Holy Spirit seals us, saying, hands off, devil. That person belongs to God. That soul is destined to be with God. It belongs to him. He bought it. And folks, that's the privilege we have of being Christians and being able to communicate with the creator of the universe. So, What is Jesus telling us? Well, he's telling us, okay, look what I gave for you. Are you willing to give that for me? And folks, I don't believe that one of us are going to have to be sacrificed for our faith. I don't believe that. It hasn't gone that far yet. But I know people, or knew people, in other countries that were sacrificed for their faith. I knew a young man named Yelchin in Turkey. He was a college student. He was afraid to trust Jesus Christ because he was afraid of what would happen to him if he did, and then he did. And he was right. Yeltsin's with the Lord. Because the people around him were Muslims. And he had committed an unpardonable sin to them when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And folks, that's going on all over this world. And we don't have to worry about that right now. God is working. God is working in every one of our lives. If you're sitting here this morning and you're breathing and your heart is beating, God has something for you yet to do. And one of the things he has for you to do is to tell somebody else about Jesus. Even if it's just handing them a gospel tract and praying before you give it, that it will be effective. God has promised, my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that for which I have sent it forth. So you hand a gospel tract to a person, pray over it before you do that. Pray that God will show you where that tract needs to go. And then once you give it, pray, continue praying over it. God, may your will be done in that life. You know what that's called? One of the things it's called is giving. But it has another name too. The name is called ministry. And you've all got ministry to be doing, to be giving. Now, Luke 6:38, that was the verse about giving, and it shall be given unto you in good measure. You may not see that in this life. But when you get to be with the Lord, just think of the rewards that He's going to have for you. Think of the way He's going to look after you. There is so much in the Bible about giving. If you've got a computer at home and you have a Bible program on that computer, just put the word in giving or given, give, G-I-V-E, and see where it appears in the Bible. Now, some of it's going to have to do with giving financially or materially. Some of it's going to have to do with giving spiritually, giving of honor to God for who He is. But our life is to be a life of giving. It really is. It's not to be a life of taking. It's to be a life of giving. And verse 38 tells us that. But in Acts, Luke, who wrote it toward the end of the book, talking about the life of Paul and his ministry to the world, then the world that he knew about. But in Acts 20:35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, requires giving, and to remember the words of the Lord, how He said, and Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You think that was important? Do you think that's an important part of the Christian life? Giving. Now, I indicated, there may be people, even in this auditorium, that is not in a position to do this on a regular basis. Have any of you, and I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Have any of you ever voluntarily given to some kind of a faith-based ministry? How much mail and emails do you get from them? Covered up with them, aren't you? Because there's always a need for more. And I hope, I pray, I more than hope, I pray that none of us would approach life with an I need attitude. Because folks, right now, God has given you everything you need, or you wouldn't be here. Now, there are some things we might want, but there's a difference between want and need. Okay? And so, we have to realize our job is not to get. It just says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what a blessing this can be. I don't know if all of you, I don't know your hearts, I don't know your lives, I don't know your history, your background. God does. But I don't know if you've had the privilege of giving the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody who doesn't know Him, sharing Him. You can't save them. All you can do is give them your information that you know about Jesus and what he's done for you. And then they respond to that by doing the same thing that you did. They believe on him and they accept him into their life and into their heart to take away the sin. And then they begin to live for him. They are changed. Because it changes a person. We meet here as brothers and sisters. We meet here and we sing the song, and we mean that song, folks. If you're a visitor and you think it's just we're just filling time by singing that song, the family of God, folks, it's more than just a song. It's a true fact. We are all, if we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we are all the family of God, and one day we are going to be in him in heaven. I don't think it's far away. In case you don't have anything to do tonight, we're going to finish up Revelation tonight. We've been on that for months and months and months. We're going to finish it up tonight. Because it's telling us a little bit about the way God's going to take care of us. But like I was saying earlier, there may be someone who's not in a position to readily give. Is it right to give God's money to a politician who's running for office? In some cases, yes. In some cases, yes, Janice. That's how we're going to get the right people in there and the good people in there. And we cannot expect somebody else to do it for us, really. But that's a hard thing to do. I'm like you. It's difficult. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of effort. But you are demonstrating the fact that you are a Christian, a born-again Christian, if you are willing to give what you have to someone else in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say about a glass of cold water? You will not lose your reward. A glass of water. And there's so much more to give. And you would be surprised at the number of people who are willing to listen. I've had kids come back to my patio so that I could tell them a little bit more about Jesus. And I'm not talking one or two at a time. And you know what? I lived over there for a year, and no child ever said anything to me. And now when they go by, they say hi. Because I've been telling them about Jesus and how they need to know him. They know. They know. In this society that we live in, I can't just go pick up a child and bring them to church. One time I might get away with it, but neither can you. But folks, we have all got something. We have all got something that we can give. How much time you got? How much effort can you give? How much energy have you got? Well, if you're my age, there's not a whole lot left. But there's still some that I can give. And so, folks, there is a time to give, and there is a time to withhold. And God may direct you what He wants you to do with what He has given you. And it may not be something that anybody else needs to know about. But He does want you to do something with what He's given you. Not necessarily just in monetary support, but in time, in love. How many people can you love? Did you ever try and figure out how many people you could love? Did you start loving a bunch? I've even come to love some of you. And I mean that. I love all of you. Because God has made you. And God has made you a part of this family. Even if you're not a member, you're still part of the family. And as long as you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll give you anything you need. If I have it. And sometimes that's how God controls us. Is He puts circumstances in our lives where we can only do certain things. But He expects us to do what we can. He does not count what you don't have. He doesn't care about that. He just cares about what you've got that belongs to Him and how you use it. Time to give, a time to withhold. I want to close with a verse from Revelation. You'll be hearing it again tonight. Revelation 22:12. I believe that we're in the last days. But Jesus makes a statement to John, who is writing the book of Revelation. And Jesus says this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man and woman according as his works shall be." Will you receive the rewards that the Lord intends for you to get for your works because you give what He has asked you to give? Father, we are so grateful for all that You have given us, for the way that daily You look after us, for Your availability to be here, to love us, and to help us to love others. Father, I would ask this morning that You multiply our love, the love that You gave us through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Father, may we love even strangers whom You know need to be loved and need to have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal saviors. Help us, Father. Help us to be givers. Help us to be lovers. And Father, we will praise You for all that You do in our lives. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.